Today, Kiwis get another rate hike despite oil price falls. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, one that is post covering finance and property news. After coming very close to lifting the official cash rate back in May, today the Reserve Bank of New Zealand's Monetary Policy Committee reached consensus to increase the official cash rate by 25 basis points to 2.5%, which, by the way, was consistent with market pricing. Now, there's an important lesson here, not just for New Zealand, but also for Australia and other countries, given the uptick in inflation and the market pricing of higher interest rates. Indeed, interest rates are likely to stay higher for longer again. And of course, in Australia, inflation is a lot stronger, despite the fact that interest rates are still high. And in fact, we see a similar disparity in other places too. Coming back to New Zealand, while the Monetary Policy Committee conceded that near-term inflationary pressures had eased a bit, thanks to the partial reopening of the Strait of Hormuz, with a fall in global oil prices and petrochemical prices, the effects of the shock will linger for some time, and the outlook for medium-term inflation pressures remains uncertain. Refined petrol prices, they say, have fallen but remain above pre-conflict levels. And the stance of monetary policy, they say, is calibrated to bring inflation back to target without causing unnecessary economic instability. Even though the Reserve Bank of New Zealand cut its inflation outlook relative to May's forecast, some Monetary Policy Committee members are still concerned that there will be lingering inflation impacts from the spike in fuel and material costs, and perhaps some of the earlier decisions that were taken too. Lifting interest rates at this meeting has a low risk of regret, given that the Reserve Bank of New Zealand can choose to pause if the economic evidence starts to suggest that medium-term inflation will be well contained. Annual headline inflation is now expected to have peaked at 3.9% in June 2026 quarter, before declining to 3.3% in the September 26 quarter. That is a substantially swifter decline in inflation than the Reserve Bank of New Zealand forecast back in May of 4.2% and 4.3% respectively. The lower forecast relative to the May statement largely reflects smaller direct price effects due to lower oil prices, as well as reduced pass-through to others. But, of course, it is still well above their target. And they go on to say that the outlook for the medium-term inflation pressures does depend on the extent to which recent cost increases feed through into higher prices. Spare capacity in the economy is expected to limit firms' ability to pass on higher costs, meaning many businesses may need to absorb them in margins. However, some firms may look to rebuild margins as demand recovers. If sustained, a low exchange rate could also add to medium-term inflation pressures. And specifically, recent energy cost increases could still flow through to consumer prices. Non-tradable inflation does remain high, with the risk that administered, that means government-set price inflation, could remain strong, and firms could become more sensitive to cost increases against a backdrop of elevated inflation and choose to lift prices in response. And firms may also be inclined to slip through additional price increases given the cover of the energy-related price shock. In contrast, if an environment of weak demand does remain, some businesses may not be able to pass on readily those costs to consumers. And here is the sting in the tail. With inflation still above target and economic activity expected to strengthen, some further reduction in monetary stimulus is likely to be required to return inflation to the 2% target midpoint. So future official cash rate decisions will depend on how incoming data, price setting behaviour, and the strength of the economy affects medium-term inflation pressures. So this will keep the pressure on households, especially with mortgages. And in fact, the committee noted that since the May statement, short-term mortgage rates have continued to increase, although longer-term mortgage rates have declined. Mortgage rates increased through the first half of this year in response to higher wholesale rates, which reflected higher near-term expectations for the cash rate. More recent declines in wholesale rates have widened spreads between mortgages and wholesale rates, reducing pressure for further increases in mortgage rates at some terms. And several members observe that household consumption investment does remain weak, reflecting caution and the lingering effects of repeated shocks. On the downside, Paul Conway noted uncertainty around how quickly the recovery will broaden beyond currently strong sectors and regions, and Anna Brennan highlighted the risk that persistently high inflation would erode purchasing power and delay a recovery in consumption. And Karen Silk noted that slower than expected net immigration could weigh on activity and rental inflation, and house prices could be affected. And Hayley Gourley also highlighted that the El Nino climate pattern could increase the risk of extreme weather events disrupting agricultural production. And the Reserve Bank of New Zealand does expect growth to get back on track over the second half of the year. And if you look at the Kiwi GDP model measure, it's currently suggesting a 0.6% quarterly increase in GDP over the third quarter, which is consistent with other forecasts that are out there. So there are some early signs of the recovery getting back on track, including confidence measures starting to lift now that oil prices have retreated substantially. And the global economy has been resilient despite US tariffs and this year's energy shock. And committee members did note a range of risks to the recovery, of course. On the upside, though, the decline in energy prices should help boost household spending power. The softer exchange rate should also help support an already robust export sector. But there was still some cautiousness around how quickly households and businesses would pick themselves up after the recent oil price impact. Migration inflows were noted as relatively muted, a restraint on housing activity and the wider economy. The weather patterns could yet prove to be a negative for New Zealand's agricultural-based exports. Ahead, the key questions are whether sufficient oil and other petrochemicals will start flowing out of the Persian Gulf to sustain the fall in oil prices, given the current spate of kinetic activity in the Strait of Hormuz and beyond. This is becoming a big question. Tanker numbers appear to be dropping again. And will the expected economic recovery pan out, and how will that influence inflation pressures and the tug of war between price and wage setting, and how that will be responding to the tug of war between the cost push and demand pressures? So another rate hike later in the year does remain a significant probability, which will continue to crimp households and the economy. And by the way, the latest from the REINZ for May points to a housing market that is steadier but still cautious and regionally uneven. The latest data shows that national median sales prices in May increased 1.3% year over year to $775,000, while the days to sell remained unchanged at 47 days. The sales count for May was down 12.6% compared to May 2025, but that comparison needs context. May last year followed the earlier official cash rate cuts and stronger market momentum. And while May 2026 sits below the historical May median, the month remains well clear of the lower end of the 35-year REIZ range. The National House Price Index for May remains slightly negative on both the annual, down 0.6%, and three-month, down 1.7% basis, pointing to a softer underlying price trend. However, the raw and seasonally adjusted median sale price both recorded the same year-on-year increase in May, reflecting continued strength in some of the country's higher value and better performing regions. While buyers remain selective, they say market conditions continue to vary across the country, with some regions in the South Island recording particularly strong results, including new median price records. In Wellington, though, buyer sentiment during May was affected by the pre-budget announcement on the 19th of May of significant public sector job reductions, a Wellington-specific confidence factor that contributed to the region's continued weakness. And cost of living pressures, including elevated fuel prices and uncertainty ahead of the national election in November, also continues to weigh on market sentiment. Salespeople across the country, they say, reported that household budget pressures remained a key consideration for buyers, contributing to a more cautious, selective approach to purchasing decisions. However, the national picture for May was not uniform. In parts of the South Island, strong rural commodity prices, relative housing affordability, and ongoing migration from larger centres did continue to support demand, contributing to record median sale prices in Canterbury and Southland. So standing back, two quick points. The first is this idea of inflation second-order effects is very critical at the moment. I think many central banks will be worrying about the idea that inflation is spreading more broadly across the economy. In Australia, this is absolutely happening at the moment due to poor policy from both governments and, of course, the misreading of interest rates from the RBA. Second point is that there is a strong correlation between what happens with inflation, interest rates and home prices. And of course, in New Zealand, we saw strong falls, significant falls over quite a long period of time. In Australia, it's now starting to take effect too. So the bottom line is this: we should expect higher interest rates ahead because of the inflationary pressures still there and still potentially getting stronger. These second order effects are significant and important to watch. And quite often, what happens in New Zealand signals what may happen more broadly, particularly in Australia. So watch this space. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.